You're going to play and learn together.
There's even a craft.
I love crafts.
But first, announcements.
Join our party.
August 14th, 4 to 6.
In Bedford Park.
Come back next week.
Learning to do good.
You can still sign up for art and comic fun.
Now it's time to sing.
Stay up and join us. Let's praise God.
Let's sing!
We're going to turn off these mics, Steve. We have a short video just about some of what we did at VBS last week. And while that is playing, parents, we're going to send the kids down to sit with you for the rest of the service. So if you have kids up here, come down and grab them, and Jennifer will help. But let's play that video. Welcome again to our Family Sunday. If we haven't met, I'm Mr. Mitchell. This is my daughter, Violet. So it is really is Family Sunday. She's going to be helping me out with this. But we want to thank you all for being here. As you get to see our kids who are here for the daycare and our kids' ministry sing these songs constantly. They love them. They dance around to them. And there are some songs, again, some of you would know God is so good from your own childhood and growing up. That's a classic hymn that we get to do. But right now, we're going to go into our prayer time. And so what we want to do is I want folks to gather in groups of three or four. So if you're family and you have enough, that's great. If you're sitting by yourself, I'd encourage you to join with someone else for this time of prayer. We're going to have a song playing in the background. But for kids or for those who haven't had much experience in prayer before, here's an easy method for praying. And it's called the pray method, P-R-A-Y. First, praise. So you open up with praising God for who he is, for what he has done, and for how he cares and loves for you. R is for repent. Maybe you've done something wrong, or you're thinking about the things that you could do better. And so you take time to pray, and you ask God for help to do those things differently. A is ask. This is where you can ask God. There might be needs in your life. There might be needs in your heart. There might be some things that you're having questions about. A is ask. You can ask God during those times. And then Y is yield. For my kids, that might be a word that you're not used to, but my adults would know what yield means. Yield is basically to listen. And to take that last part of prayer and to listen to God and to take the time to listen to what he has to say to you after praying with that. So we're going to play this song in a second and gather in your groups where you are. Like I said, I encourage you to be in groups of three or four. Pray together. One person can pray. Everyone can pray. But take this time, the next few minutes, to pray as a church family. Let's have that video.
But he brought me in, oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has a
this time we have together today. I ask, Lord, that you hear our prayers, that all those things that have been on our heart today, all those things that have been mentioned this morning, God, I ask that you would hear us, that you would be with us, and that you would use all things for the glory of your name. In your name we pray all these things to the Father above. Amen. All right. Well, I am so excited to be here today. So again, I'm Mr. Mitchell. I spend most of my time working with kids and families, so I like to have fun in like everything I do. And we just had VBS, so anyone who was here for VBS can tell you that I am usually jumping around all the time when I get to do anything, get to talk, get to sing, whatever it might be. And so we're going to do that today, because I think too often, as adults, we can be a little too serious sometimes. So, and Miss Jennifer, our daycare director, was talking to some of the kids, and they were asking what we were doing today when they were coming in to sing, and Miss Jennifer described it as, well, Mr. Mitchell's going to do chapel for the grown-ups. So that's exactly what we're having today, is chapel for the grown-ups. So we are going to be looking at a story in the book of Luke, Luke 10, 29-37. It's the story of the Good Samaritan. And I want a different way of telling this story that will really help stick in something I would do with kids. So I actually need some volunteers to help act out the story, kids and adults. So, and I'm the kind of person that if you don't raise your hand to volunteer, I will call you out. So I know I have Violet, my daughter, here. So Violet, come over. So she's got my one volunteer. Do I have any other volunteers who want to help with me today? Oh, all right, we got Megan, come on up here. Anyone else? Like I said, I will start calling people out. Let's see. Maddie in the back. Okay. Zoe, do you want to come help? All right, I need some adults, too. So where are my grown-ups that are willing to help out with this? Let me get up, Don. And let me get Miss Haley. All right, so I got my six volunteers that I need. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. We're going to be acting out the story of the Good Samaritan, okay? So if you're not a character yet, I'm going to have you come over here. So I need all my characters and actors over here. Everyone else, we haven't had a rehearsal yet, so please bear with us. All right, all my volunteers, Zoe, Maddie, Don, Haley, over here. I'm going to have you divide up into the story, okay? And I have some props here to help out. So, let's see. The first part I need to assign is the man traveling. So, Don, Mr. Don, that gets to be you. Yes, you are. And then I need my two robbers. Who wants to use pool noodles? All right. Violet and... Oh, my gosh. There's too many volunteers for the pool noodle. Let me have Miss Haley do that one. All right, and then you also have bandanas because you're bad guys. So there you go. Yep, all right, and then I need the Levite. Let me have that be Mrs. Zoe. And then the priest will be Megan. And then you are my Samaritan. So all right, all my actors right over here. And I'm going to tell the story. So let me go through. All right. So here is the story of the Good Samaritan. If you've been in church in a while, then you know the story, and that's fine. If you haven't been in church in a while, then you're going to get to see a great example of the story acted out. So, Jesus told this parable in the book of Luke. So, there was a man from Jerusalem who was on a long journey, so he grabbed his bag of money and he came on a journey. So, Mr. Don, let me have you just walk in circles around the stage. He's on a long journey with this money. Well, unfortunately for him, two robbers happened upon him. They beat him. Watch you, robbers. Be gentle. You're going to attack him. They beat him until he was down on the ground. As close to the ground as you can get, Mr. Don. And they took his money. One of you grabbed the money. And they left him for dead. Now you guys exit. Well, the man's fate was not looking good because long journey in the middle of nowhere, left for dead. You okay, Mr. Don? All right, there we go. There we go. Well, it should happen that a Levite, one of the people who helped in the temple at Jerusalem, came walking by, and that's Zoe. Zoe came walking by. She saw him, but then kept going and didn't help. So go back that way. Levi didn't stop to help. They were on their own journey and couldn't be bothered. And then the priest. The priest was the supreme religious leaders of the people. And the priest came walking by, saw him, and even walked to the other side of the road to avoid him. Walk around, walk far away, Megan, walk far away from him. Just in case he was dead, the priest didn't want to soil themselves or be unclean because of a dead body being too close to them. Well, this doesn't look very good for Mr. Don, our man. But then the Samaritan came walking by. Now, here's the thing you know about Samaritans. The Samaritans and the Jewish people hated each other, absolutely despised each other. Well, the Samaritan saw him beat up and took compassion on him. And so bandaged him up, helped him up onto the donkey. We don't have that. We're just going to use our imaginations for the donkey today. And led him to the innkeeper. I'll be the innkeeper. So lead him to me. Lead him to me. All right. Led him to the innkeeper, which in that day and age was where if someone was sick or anything like that, you would take them to the inn to get their rest. And the Samaritan said to the innkeeper that they were going to give them a full day's of their own wages to care for the injured man, and that they themselves were on a journey but would be back and pay any other expenses that it cost. And then the Samaritan went on their way, you know, back that way. And then the Jewish man remained with the innkeeper until getting better. All right, let's get a round of applause for all of our volunteers. All right, if you have a prop, you can drop it there somewhere. I'll clean up afterwards. And if you are a child that belongs to me, you can have a seat on the front row. Now, Jesus gives this parable in Luke because someone asked him, what is the greatest law in the whole Hebrew Jewish law? The whole Jewish law. What is the greatest one? And there's a lot to choose from. So many. If you've read through the Old Testament, the first five books contain this law. And so Jesus was asked, which one's the greatest one? It's a trick question. They were trying to get him to say something and trap Jesus in saying something controversial or saying something he shouldn't have said. But Jesus said, well, the greatest one is love the Lord your God with all your being. And the second commandment, that the greatest commandment, which is just as good, as great as the first one, is this, to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, the person was trying to be smart and said, well, who is my neighbor? And then Jesus tells this parable. And at the end of it, he asked the person, who do you think was the neighbor to the man who was injured? And the response was, well, the one who helped him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, the reason I told this story today is because this is a very, very common kid's story. Again, I work with kids, and so I even double-checked it. In the list of like all the stories we commonly tell kids, I tell those stories a lot. We talk about the creation of the world, Noah's Ark. We talk about the Good Samaritan, some of the other parables of Jesus. There's a lot of these stories that we call kids' stories in the Bible that we then give them a nice little moral. So that often with the Good Samaritan is, okay, we need to be kind to one another. Or we need to help the people around us. And we give this great little story to kids, teach it to them when they're little and go, okay, now just remember that. But then as adults, we don't really come back to these stories. At least maybe not as often, or if we do, we keep that same very simple moral. You see, the interesting thing about the story is there's a book called The Art of Neighboring, and a lot of what we're doing here at Ridgeland Church is coming from the principles in this book. And the two authors, Jay Pathak and Dave Runyon, call the Good Samaritan story a graduate-level understanding of what it means to love your neighbor. Not a kid's level. No, not a kid's level. They acknowledge that we teach this to kids and that we give a great lesson to kids about, you know, loving others and being kind to others. But when it comes to the depth of the story, it's actually really difficult because this story isn't just someone helping someone who's hurt. No, this story is about someone interrupting their time, a big chunk of their time, to help someone in need that they don't know. This story involves doing something that was dangerous. What if the robbers were still there? What if the robbers had left this man as a trap to catch someone else? This person was putting their life in danger for this man they didn't know, who was actually from a group of people that hated him. This was costly. Again, the Samaritan gives a full day's wages and says, I'll give even more. Imagine being willing to give up your paycheck for the day, for a week, for 2 weeks. Imagine saying, I will give up my entire paycheck for these 2 weeks to help this person that I don't know, to help this person that probably doesn't like me. And the last thing is, it's ongoing. The Samaritan agreed to come back. The Samaritan said, I will return and I will continue to pay. You see, when we talk about loving our neighbors the way the Good Samaritan does, it's not just be kind to help someone if it's convenient. That, I mean, for kids, we talk about this. And kids, I want you to listen up. This is a great lesson to learn. We need to be sure we are kind to those around us, that we do help people. But my adults, we have to continue learning this story over and over again. There was a study done in about the 1970s on this particular parable. Princeton Theological Seminary took a group of people and said, we want you to prepare a message on the Good Samaritan. And the day that they were going to give it, they had three groups of people. The first group, they came to them and said, you're running late. You have to get there now to the class across campus to teach this lesson. The second group, they said, hey, if you leave right now, you'll get across campus just in time to teach. The third group, they said, you know what, if you leave now, you got extra time on the way, so go ahead and leave now, that way you're there early. Well, what the people didn't know is that there was an actor on the path to campus acting injured, sick, as someone who would need immediate help. Of these people who were delivering a message on the Good Samaritan story, the group in the first, the kids, people in the first group who were told they were in a hurry, only 10% of them stopped to help the person who was injured. 45% helped if they knew they were just going to be there on time. 63% helped if they knew they had plenty of time. What they said was interesting to note was that the fact that they were preaching about the Good Samaritan had no impact on them actually acting like the Good Samaritan. Knowing that they were about to teach on the Good Samaritan did nothing to help them act like the Good Samaritan. It had more to do with if they had the time to help than if they had the ability or the knowledge to know that they should help. Ooh, grown-ups, this doesn't look good on us. It doesn't look good on us at all. Why? I wonder, when I look at some of these stories that we talk about for kids, why did we stop learning them? Why did we stop going over them? Because these are fun stories. I mean, that was a fun story to go over. Kids, did y'all enjoy the story of the Good Samaritan acting that out? Yeah, that was a fun story. I think even the adults enjoyed it. But we stop looking at these stories as we get older, or we leave it at the same lesson that we learned as a child and never really keep going. We relegate some of these stories to the Bible, of the Bible, to kids with their morals, and we leave them at that. I remember working, teaching a Bible study about through Noah's Ark, and I had an adult gentleman tell me that he hadn't read the story of Noah's Ark since he was a kid. He had no idea actually what really happened. He just knew that there was something with the flood and the animals, and that was about it. But as an adult who had been a Christian for many years, had never actually gone back and reread that story because he went, well, I knew it as a kid. What else do I need to know? But there was so much more. You see, when we look at a story like the Good Samaritan, there's so much theological depth that we miss if we just let it be a kid's story. So kids, this is where I'm going to talk to the grown-ups for a little bit longer, because these are really deep things. These are really difficult things for the adults to understand. I know sometimes for us kids, like, it's like, oh man, I got to share my toys. That's not an easy lesson. And it's not an easy lesson for me either. But this is a hard lesson for the adults I'm about to do. You see, the Good Samaritan has some other things tied into it. The Good Samaritan, when Jesus told this parable, he condemned the judgment of Samaritans by the Jews. He called out the racial and ethnic hatred that the Jews had for the Samaritan. Oh, that's a deep issue. Trust me, that's one that adults don't like even today in the church. Jesus challenged elitism in society, in a religious and cultural society. Jesus actually said that the priest and the Levite, who had important things to do, were the ones in the wrong because they didn't stop to help. You see, he challenged that because normally people listening to the story would have said, well, the priest and the Levite, yeah, they have more important things to do than to help someone on the road. And Jesus called that out and said, no, that's not what that should have happened. They should have stopped to help because helping that person was more important than the responsibility they could have had. The last one that it did was to remove the boundaries of personal responsibilities. Jesus essentially said, your responsibility to be a neighbor doesn't end at what's convenient for you. It keeps going and going and going. There is no limit to the responsibility that you have to help someone else. as we get ready to close, here's my challenge for the adults. Adults, what do we still need to learn from kids' Bible stories? What do we still need to go back to? All those stories and lessons we learned as kids, all those honestly adorable little kids' storybooks, what do we need to go back and reread as adults and continue to learn from? And for my kiddos in the room, all my kids, can I have all eyes for my kids for just 1 second? All eyes for my kids for just 1 second? How can we help our adults to love Jesus more? How can you help your adult love Jesus more? Because guess what? It's by reading the Bible. Thank you, Violet. That's right. Kids, you can actually help your adults love Jesus more. You can help them grow in their faith. Because guess what? Kids, you have an awesome ability to do one very powerful thing. You know how to ask questions. And all my parents know this is true. All kids know how to ask a lot of questions. So kids, how can you help your adults, your grown-ups, love Jesus even more? Yes. And adults, what are those Bible stories that you can go back and reread now and continue to learn from? This is why the church is a family. This is why we have Family Sunday. Because guess what? We can learn from each other no matter the age difference. We can worship together no matter the age difference. We can love Jesus together no matter the age difference. So we take time to do something like Family Sunday. All right, let me pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that you love us, that you meet with us, Lord, that you are present with us. God, I ask that for all of us here, we would look not only ways to love our neighbors, Lord, to go out, yes, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, but Jesus, I ask that we would also continue to grow in our faith every single day, continue to draw closer to you every single day. May we become more and more like you in all that we say and do. I thank you, Lord, for each of the kids and adults here. God, I ask that in all these things, Lord, all these things, you would draw us closer to you. May we continue to learn from each other no matter the age. In your name I pray all these things. Amen. As we get ready to go, two things. One, there is a craft. When you leave, I would encourage each family to pick up a craft from the box in the back. It's a craft about the Good Samaritan story that y'all can do together as a family. And I do really encourage that because, honestly, crafts are so much fun. And this is one that y'all can do together as a family and continue to talk about today's message because it just doesn't stop here. The last thing is I just want to read a benediction. This is from Matthew 18, 2 through 5. So if everyone would stand, please. I want to read this benediction over you to remind you again, once again, that Jesus saw the importance of not only having kids present with us, but what we can do to continue to learn as children. Jesus called a little child to him and placed the child among his disciples. And he said, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever becomes humble like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever welcomes once a child in my name welcomes me." Church, let us learn like children and love the children around us. Thank you for being here today.